Your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. There sure was some beautiful feet up here tonight, weren't they? Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. It's a delight to be with you all again, to be here and see so many friends that I don't get to see very often except in meetings from all over West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio. Dear friends. So wonderful to see everybody. Todd and Lynn, let us come in. Cody and Winter come all the way from Merida just to hear me preach. I think I ain't full of it. You know, there's been a lot said this evening about, do you know you're converted? Do you know that you know the Lord? Have you been born again? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. But let me read these scriptures here in 1 Timothy 1:12 down through verse 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy. Bless his name. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Everything we did in ignorance. We didn't know God. We didn't know ourselves. We didn't know the scriptures. We didn't know nothing about sin. Our whole life was a life of ignorance until God came. Paul was a Pharisee, but he said, I was ignorant. I was ignorant of the scriptures, ignorant of myself, ignorant of God, ignorant of righteousness, ignorant of any way of salvation. I was ignorant. And I was in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, you know, as Bruce asked the question, have you been born again? Todd talked about under whom I have believed. But have you ever asked yourself, am I a child of God? How can I know I'm a child of God? How can I know that I'm a believer? How can I know that I've been saved by the grace of God? How can I know that Christ has actually done something for me? How can I know that? When you mentioned Brother David, everybody at one time or another has wondered whether they knew Christ or not. You've said something, you've done something, you've went somewhere, you've thought something, you said, how could I know God? And said that, done that, thought that, felt it. And even John Newton himself, who wrote Amazing Grace, said, 'Tis upon I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? You know, if you ever ask yourself, am I a child of God? I tell you who you don't dare to ask. If you ask yourself this question, I'm going to tell you who not to ask. You don't never ask another man. You don't never ask another man. Another man can't let you know that. Another man cannot let you know if you're a child of God or not. I know that that's the thing that most people do. When everybody starts looking for assurance, they go to the preacher, and the preacher says, well, honey, I was there. You did confess being a sinner, didn't you? I did. You did accept Jesus, didn't you? I did. You was on our altar, wasn't you? I was. Well, why are you down? The devil's doing that to you. Oh, Don't ask another man. Don't ask another man. A man that would give you assurance is really trying to find assurance for himself. And I tell you, don't ask this. Don't ask this question. Don't ask how much I know. Don't ask how much knowledge I have of God. How much knowledge do we have of God? When Paul said, how unsearchable. Oh, the depth of both the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath ever known the mind of the Lord? Who's ever been His counselor? Of Him, through Him, and to Him be all things. Oh my, how much do we know about Him? Oh, we know He's sovereign. But what else do we know? We know He has eternity. What else do we know? And oh, don't ask how much you know about His Word. There's men they call walking Bibles. They can quote chapter after chapter after chapter. And yet, beloved, they wouldn't know God from a goat. If the Lord Jesus Christ walked down the aisle of their congregations, they wouldn't know who He was. They'd try to win Him. And you know, I'm serious about that. They really would. They say, well, there's another soul we got to win to Jesus tonight. Oh, that's true. I'm serious about that, wouldn't they? Huh? And I'll tell you something else you don't dare ask. Don't never, never question your feelings. Don't never look to your feelings. Oh, folks say, I feel saved. What do you do when you feel lost? What do you do when you feel like you don't know Christ? What do you do when you come to a service after service after service and you don't feel the presence and power of God? You feel like God's cut off the light. He's turned it out on you. He's made the heavens to be brass. Huh? And oh, beloved, don't ever ask your experience or look to your experience. I've had experiences while Bruce was preaching. Wonderful experience. But also, if you're going to look to experience, what about all the other experiences you have? You have a time when you can pray and you can seek God, and other times you get out and seek Him, and the awfulest things go through your mind. If you're going to take the good and look for that for assurance, you got to take the bad and take that assurance away by the bad that you have. Huh? Oh, my. And don't ask yourself if you say, well, I know I'm saved because I believe the doctrines of grace. That won't work. That won't work. So, oh my, am I a child of God? How in the world am I going to know? How am I going to know? Who can tell me? Who can assure me? Who can give me assurance? Who can tell me that I know Christ, that Christ is in my heart, that I've come to Him, I trust Him, I know Him, that I've been saved by the grace of God? Who can give me any assurance? There's only one place to get it. It's from this right here. That'll give it to you. When the church, it can't give it to you. The preacher can't give it to you. Your doctrinal confession can't give it to you. Your creed can't give it to you. Can you? Church membership can't give it to you. If you're going to get it, it's got to come out of here. Now you keep Timothy. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, James says, by His own will begat He us with the word of truth. So if we're gotten, begotten by the word, then it's the word and the word only that can give us any kind of assurance. And here in verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And that's the only way in the world you can obey the truth. It's through the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, He gives you an unfeigned love for the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And this is why you do this. This is why you obey the truth. This is how your spirit has been purified, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, there's two seeds here. There's this flesh that he talked about and the spirit being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's all we've got. but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's it. We're born again by the word. And if the word is in one that gave us life, then the word bears witness to the life that we have. Now watch what he says now. For all flesh is as grass. Oh boy. And all the glory as the man is the flower of the grass. We see all these beautiful trees right now. Budding out, beautiful, flowers come. And then, oh my, they'll be gone. Wind come along, blow them away. They just, beauty, that's the way man is. He comes up with all of his beauty, and next thing you know, all the blooms are gone. He's gone. That's it. Gone. The grass withered and the flower thereof falls away. And our flower is fixed to fall, some of us. But the word of the Lord, it endureth forever. And listen to it now. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Preached unto you. So am I a child of God? Well, I'm going to try to. There's only two questions that'll get, you know, there's only two answers, two questions that I'll ask, and I believe it'll give us an answer. Gives me an answer anyway. First question is this: am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? I'm not talking about a preacher-made sinner. I'm not talking about a church-made sinner. I'm talking about a mama-made sinner or a papa-made sinner. Going in your bedroom, tell you, oh, you want to accept? No, I'm not talking about that. Look what Paul said back over here in our text. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners? Huh? Am I a sinner? Why in the world would you ask that? Because that's the only people God says He'll save. He will not save anybody else but a sinner. That's the only one He'll save. This is a faithful saying. Paul said, for this cause, because I was a sinner. This cause, because I was a blasphemer. This cause, because I was a persecutor. This cause, because I was injurious. This cause, because I was ignorant. This cause, I obtained mercy. Jesus Christ came and saved me because I was a sinner. And oh, beloved, and I have to admit that I am. I'll confess here before everybody. I'll tell the world. If I tell the president, I'll tell everybody. I'm a sinner, yes. God's word says that I am. It says that I'm not righteous, that I don't understand, that I fall short of the glory of God, said all of my best things I've ever done is as a filthy rag. It says that I don't seek God, I don't understand God, the way of peace I don't understand. That God went looking for somebody who was righteous and good, He couldn't find one. So if that means if He couldn't find one anywhere, that means I was one of the ones He couldn't find. And oh, listen now, not only as God's word says I am, but my own conscience says I am. My conscience tells me I'm a sinner. It tells me I'm, my conscience tells me when I say things and do things and act way that's not right, that's contrary to God, contrary to my own beliefs, contrary to my own principles. And my experience says I am. My experience says I am. Everywhere I've ever went, there ain't been no place that I've ever been that I didn't commit a sin. I stand here in your presence tonight. And I've never done nothing selfishly. I mean, done nothing for the glory of God. And I've never done nothing unselfishly. I've never done one thing completely for the glory of God. I get up here and I'm worried more about how I'm going to feel as a preacher and how you're going to act toward me and how you'll react toward me than I am for the glory of God. How damnable a sin is that? Huh? Have we ever? Oh, what? My experience says I am. And my actions say I am. Every time I open my mouth, things I've done, things I've said, the way I've acted, my actions tell me that I'm a sinner. I get mad and I get angry and I tell people off. I don't forgive people as quick as I should forgive. My action says I am. Oh my. The Holy Spirit says that I am. He came and convinced me that I'm a sinner. Huh? Oh, the death of Christ on the cross tells me I'm a sinner. Why would Christ go and die and bear sin in His own body on the tree? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ take upon Himself my nature and identify Himself with me and be made to be sin for God to forsake Him? But if I wasn't a sinner, why did Christ die if I'm not a sinner? Why did Christ come if I'm not a sinner? Why did God forsake Him if I'm not a sinner? Why would God turn His back on His Son if I'm not a sinner? Why would God pour out His wrath on His Son if I'm not a sinner? My wife and children will bear witness that I'm a sinner. They'll bear witness to it. My friends have to bear witness to it. My loved ones will bear witness to it. And they'll all tell you I am. I'm a sinner when I feel like I'm one, and I'm a sinner when I don't. I'm a sinner when I'm sleeping, and I'm a sinner when I'm awake. And oh, listen to me, I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of it. I'm not glorying in it here. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed by it. And oh, I'd like to be done with it. I'd like to be done with it and bless God's name one of these days I will. It's an awful, awful burden to know that there's something in you that's so against God, that's so against righteousness and so against holiness, that you would ungod God if you could. Huh? Something so intrinsically evil in you that you'll go and let God leave your mind, let God leave your thoughts. And think some of the awfulest things sometimes that you say, how could anything like that go through anybody else's mind? And oh, I'm a dog. A dog. Like Mephibosheth, I had to be brought. When I was brought before the king, I say, oh, why would thou look upon such a dead dog as I? It's bad enough to be a dog. It's bad enough to be a sorry dog. But to be a dead dog, rotten, corrupt, and stinking dead dog. Oh my. But oh, listen to me. Christ said, I came to save people like that. It's the faithful saying. And it's worthy for everybody in this building, everybody I've ever preached to, even to my own self. It's just worthy. Believe this. Accept this. Embrace this. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Yes. And because of this, Fred, I obtain mercy. Oh, let's don't stop now. I'm a hypocrite. I know you're not, but I am. I'll say one thing, and I'll do something else. I expect from others what I don't even expect from myself. I expect others to act ways that I wouldn't act myself. I pass judgments upon others that I wouldn't even pass upon myself. I'll condemn others when I wouldn't even condemn myself. And I found this out about myself. And I don't. What I wouldn't do, I do. And I see that in me, that is in my flesh, absolutely dwells no good thing. No good thing. Oh, beloved, I don't want to use my depravity, my sinfulness as an excuse for my sin. I don't want to use my fallen nature as an excuse for my sin. I don't want to use the grace of God as an excuse to sin. And I bear the blame for what I am and what I do. I bear the whole blame for it. No one makes me sin. No one twists my arm. No one gets me by my neck and says sin. No one gets in my mind and says think that. No one gets in my mouth and says think that. No one gets in my heart and says make me feel this way. It's me. I take the whole blame for it. Uh-huh. And oh my. Here's a second question. And listen to me now. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Oh, that gives me a little hope. As old Scott says, the more you can convince me of my sin, the more hope you give me. Oh, just keep on pouring it on. So it just makes me, shows me how to, you know, it just keeps driving me. Here's a second question. Back in our text, do I believe? Am I a sinner? But second question is this. Do I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I've committed my soul to Him? Do you believe that with all your heart? That's what Paul said there in verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, Jesus Christ, might show all longsuffering for a pattern. Oh my. Do I believe, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you know God's blessed word says that through faith in Him, God would save me and justify me, declare me righteous, make me accepted in Him without doing anything, without acting, just absolutely just throwing in my lot with Him. Just throwing in my lot, just believing Him. With bracing Him and believing Him. Huh? Oh, it says in... Let me show you. Look with me in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you what I'm trying to say, if I can. God says that through faith in Him, He would be just. Oh, I always believed, even when I was unconverted, that God was just. That, oh my, He was just. And oh, I don't want to deal with a just God outside of Christ. Ooh. He cannot at all acquit the wicked. He can't clear the guilty. He won't justify the wicked. He won't do it. He can't do it. Sin's got to be paid for. Sins must be atoned. Sin has to sin. All I talked about what I am and what I've done and all that I feel and all that. I've told you that. But yet, beloved, that sin must be atoned for. That awful things that I've done must be paid for. The sins that I've committed back then and the sins I commit now and the sins for the future, all of them must be paid for. All of them must be atoned for. And who in the world's going to do that? Huh? Oh, look here in Acts chapter 8 and down here in verse 31. You all know the story where Philip went to meet the Ethiopian eunuch and told to go join himself to this chariot. And he's sitting in the chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him there in verse 30, he said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Oh, oh, how in the world am I going to... And he desired Philip, come up here and sit with me. And the place of the scripture he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh my. As a lamb to the slaughter. You know what they do with a lamb when they slaughter him? First thing they do is slit his throat. Blood begins to gush. Now watch this. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. He never murmured, never said a word. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare it? Who's going to tell up, stand up and declare his generation? For his life was taken for the earth. Now watch what Philip, the eunuch asked him. The eunuch answered and said, Philip said, I pray thee, of whom the prophet speaks, does he speak of himself or some other man? That's a good question. Who is Isaiah talking about, himself or some other man? He knows that when he talks about that sheep and talking about that lamb and talking about that humiliation and talking about that judgment and his life being taken from there, he knows he's talking about a man. He knows that. He says, is he talking about himself or he's talking about somebody else? Ah, boy, I wish somebody asked me that question. I do. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, now watch this. They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" Now listen. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, you may." You may. Do you believe with all your heart? And you know your heart is you. Your heart is you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here's this man. He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that this man you've been preaching to me, this Jesus Christ that you've been telling me about, that you took to Isaiah 53 and you named him Jesus. You said he was Jesus Christ. And he went there and he started talking about where he was crucified and when he was crucified and why he was crucified. And he says, why he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ." How did he come to find out that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? How did he come to that conclusion? He started preaching from Isaiah, and then all of a sudden he comes there. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Huh? And that, beloved, that's how, believing that, what does it mean to be the Son of God? It means to be God. That's what it means. It means to be God Himself. Look again in Acts 13. Look in Acts 13. In 38, verse 38. You know, everybody believes that Jesus is the Savior. You can rarely find anybody that doesn't believe Jesus is the Savior. You know, folks will tell you, "I believe Jesus is the Savior ever since I was a little bitty boy." I've known preachers that said, I was on the cradle roll, you know, where they got... When they joined churches, and just quick as they were born, they put little booties up on this bulletin board and said, he said, "We're going to keep track of him all the way through his life." But oh my, look what he said here in Acts 13:38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you" what? The forgiveness of sin. We just talked about being a sinner. But here he says, "It's preached unto you through this man the forgiveness of sin." The forgiveness of it. Watch this. "And by him, all that believe." By him, through him, because of him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. No wonder Peter says, "We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved even as they." You know, the question is not how much I know, but who I know. You see, it's not so much my knowledge of him that gives me any assurance at all, but his knowledge of me. I find much more assurance in what he knows about me than what I know about him. And oh, and the question is, have I come to him? You know, the Christian profession and the Christian experience is never, ever any more than coming to Christ. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. Chosen of God. Elect and precious. That's all. That's what it is. I'm going to preach on that tomorrow night, God willing. To whom coming? That's the beginning, the end, the middle of our life. Coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. Have I committed myself to him? Oh yes, there's no one else I can go to. 2 Timothy 1:12. Look at it. Todd quoted it. Todd quoted it. Oh yes, I have. Where else can I go? Who else can forgive my sins? Who else can clear me from my sin? Who else can make me acceptable to God? And that's what Paul said here in verse 12. He said, "For which cause? Because I'm a preacher and a teacher to the Gentiles. For which cause I suffer these things." Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. I'm convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, beloved. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need him. I need him now. I needed him yesterday, and I'll need him tomorrow. I need him as to be my Savior. I need him to be my Redeemer. I need him to be my all. I need him to be my comfort. I need him to be my stay. I need him to be my strength. I need him to be everything that I need. He must be that for me. People are, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, preachers trying to figure out what strength this person has so they can use them in the church here and what strength they have there. I've never met anybody that has any strength. David said, the Lord is my strength. If we had any strength, why would we need Christ? We got a blind side on the left, a blind side on the right, and we're blind in the back, and we're blind in the front, and we can't pick up nothing. We need Christ to do it all. Oh, I wished I could. Oh, soul. Have I turned myself from myself to Him? Have I turned from myself to Him? Have I left off my righteousness and embraced His? Have I left off my works and laid down my soul at His work? Have I left off my obedience and trusted only in His obedience? Have I left off my goodness and trusted only His grace? Do I trust my prayers or I trust His power? Do I trust my faith or do I trust His faithfulness? Do I trust my repentance or I trust His redemption? Which one is it? Oh, to be done with self. Oh, to be done with self. Cast myself on Him for all eternity. I'll be so glad when God writes death, 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 and they throw dirt on my casket. I'll be so... To be done with self. To be like the Apostle Paul said and count all things but dung. To spend our lives pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. He's the starting mark. He's the finishing mark. He's the prize. He's the prize of the race. He's the crown in the fight. Oh, I want Him. Got to have Him. Got to have Him, Clarence. Got to have Him. No, and the older I get, the more I know it. The more conscious I am of it. There's an old man. Some of you all might have known him down in our congregation. I remember years ago when I first started preaching. I've been where I'm at now 30 years. I've been there a couple of years. And Brother Elbert at that time, he had a hog house. And he had a bunch of hogs in it. You know, you go in there and pens on all sides. And big old hogs all over, raise little pigs. And if you ever been in the hog house, that's nothing stinks like a hog. I mean, they really, really stink. But he called me up and said, brother, he had a little speech impediment, and he asked me to come see him, and I went down to see him, and he had these old white buckets, you know, everybody had these old white 5-gallon buckets. And we sat down on top of them buckets in his hog house. And he said, Brother Donnie, he said, I tell you what. He said, I don't believe I'm saved. I said, what's the matter, Albert? He said, I can't tell you how awful I am. I can't tell you what a sinner I am. I can't tell you why. I said, I can't describe to you what I feel inside. I can't describe to you how awful I feel in the sight of God. I can't describe to you. He said, you know what garbage is? He said, I'm worse than garbage. He started telling me that. And while he was telling me that, I sat there in my heart just leaping. Your man don't get that way without God. Man don't get like that. He's laying in bed one morning, a little before daylight. They called me and said, Albert passed on. I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. And you know what? He couldn't read. He put his name across that wall. 4-foot letters. What's that? I don't know. Couldn't make change. If he gave somebody a $10 bill and he only spent 90 cents, they could have gave him back two dimes and he wouldn't have known any difference. Instead of giving him $9 back. But this is a faithful saying. And oh, he believed God. He believed God. Oh, and he loved Brother Henry. He carried my water to me for years and years and years. He got there and set my water on my, right up here for me for years. And always sat right over there. He was a sinner. And he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Beloved, I want to be saved. I want to be saved by him. I want to be saved his way. I want his will over my will. I want him to be Lord, to be boss, to rule my life, to choose my family, to choose my friends, choose where I live, how I live, how long I live. I want him to do it all. Oh, how I live, what and when I should experience in this life. I want him to choose what will happen tomorrow. I want him to choose what happened the day after tomorrow. I want him to choose everything in my life. I do not want to be left to make any decisions on my own. I don't. Lord, command what thou will and give what thou commandest. John Donne said this, as the first Adam's sweat surrounds my face, may the last Adam's blood my soul embrace. It's like old Jack the Huckster. I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. You know, that's the whole purpose of the gospel. That's the whole purpose of the word. That's the whole purpose of the preaching. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit and his work is to make men to be sinners. This is where Paul ended up his life. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And you know what he said? I'm the number one. I'm the chiefest. I'm the chiefest. And if this isn't enough, knowing that I'm a sinner, knowing it, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God with all my heart, with all my soul, then there's no hope for me if this is not it. You see, I'm an absolute sinner, so I must have an absolute Savior. There's a whole multitude following the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me, draw him, lest it be given of him by my Father. And he said, the Spirit quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. They all turned around and walked away. And he said, well, you fellas going to walk away too? You going to walk away? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, God makes the gospel simple enough that men who can't read can understand it, that deaf men can hear it, that the blind can see it, and the dumb can call on him, the bedfast and the cripple can arise and come to him. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. The more I learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I feel my desperate, desperate need of him. I believe there'd be a lot of folks here tonight say, yeah, I'm a child of God. God done something for me. Lord bless you.